Oh, you who have believed, what is the matter with you that when you are told to go forth in the cause of Allah, you adhere heavily to the earth? The indication is towards the battle of Tabuk, in which, like I mentioned to you, the participation was mandatory. So the believers are being reprimanded over here that why are you feeling lazy? Why are you clinging to the earth? Why aren't you readily, happily, actively going forth in the way of Allah? Are you satisfied with the life of this world rather than the hereafter? But what is the enjoyment of worldly life compared to the hereafter, except very little? The Prophet ﷺ said, explaining to us how qaleel, how little the worldly life is, its enjoyment is. He said that if one of you should dip his finger in the ocean, and then he should see as to what has stuck to it, meaning how much water has come out on his finger from the ocean. This is what? The water that has come on his finger, that is dunya. And what is the ocean? The hereafter. When you wet your hand, what happens, especially these days? It just takes a few seconds for it to become dry. Isn't it? So quickly it becomes dry. And this is the reality of this life. So quickly it disappears. So quickly its pleasure comes to an end. And over time, what has remained of this dunya is less and less compared to what it was before. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has made this entire earth very qaleel, very little. And what has remained from it now is nothing but little. Meaning at the beginning, there was still something. Now, it is very little compared to how much there was before. You know, when you look at the bones of the dinosaurs, you wonder how big they were, how much they ate, what were the sizes of those trees which they ate, right? What kind of a world was this? Huge, massive, so much. But now what do we see? Everything is small, small, small. And the Prophet ﷺ continued, he said, and what has remained of this world is like Tha'ib. Water source whose water has been taken, and what remains is just murky water. Have you ever seen that? That in a place, like for example a river, that was full with water. But then what happened? It dried up gradually. And then what is left at the end? Very little water that is also muddy. It's not even clear anymore. So what do we see? In this world also, whatever things there are they in their purest form? No, everything is polluted. From the soil to the air to the water, everything is polluted. So over time we see that the value of this dunya is only diminishing. It's only diminishing. فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ So something of this polluted dunya that we do have, the little dunya that we do have, should we not give it so that we can strive in the way of Allah, so that we can have what is kathir? Think about it. Giving up a little bit now, so that we can get more later. You know, like if somebody were to offer you, give me all your old clothes, all of your old clothes, just give them to me, and take these $10,000. Not 10, 50, and go get what you want. Would you take that offer? You'd say, yeah, take my clothes, and take my children's clothes, and take my husband's clothes, take my linens also, take my curtains also, take everything. I'll go buy everything new, especially with this generous amount. Allah offers us this. You give a little bit of your time, of your energy. Strive a little bit in the way of Allah. And what will you get? Eternity in the hereafter. Endless reward. So don't cling to this dirty, qaleel world. إِلَّا تَنْفِرُوا If you do not go forth, He will punish you with a painful punishment and will replace you with another people, and you will not harm Him at all. And Allah is over all things competent. So if you stay back, who will you deprive? Only yourself. If you do not aid the Prophet, and yes, the Prophet ﷺ is no longer there, but his legacy is still alive. His mission is still alive. His ummah is still there. Then Allah has already aided him when those who disbelieved had driven him out of Makkah as one of two. And this was in the cave during the Hijrah, when Abu Bakr was with him. When they were in the cave of Thawr, and he said to his companion, لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا Do not grieve, indeed Allah is with us. Because Abu Bakr became very worried as the mushrikeen were literally at the mouth of the cave. Allah sent down His tranquility upon him and supported him with angels. You did not see and made the word of those who disbelieved the lowest, while the word of Allah, that became the highest. And Allah is exalted in might and wise. What do we learn from this? That if we don't strive in the cause of Allah, Allah's deen will not suffer. It will not suffer. It will still carry on. Who will suffer then? We will suffer. Therefore, انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا بأموالكم وأنفسكم في سبيل الله. Go forth, whether light or heavy. Sometimes we feel very light, we have energy. And sometimes we feel very heavy. Just moving one leg is also difficult. So go forth in every condition and strive with your wealth and your lives in the cause of Allah. Why? That is better for you if you only knew. Had it been an easy gain and a moderate trip, the hypocrites would have followed you. Because this journey was several hundred kilometers long. Journey to the book was very long. And the battle was not going to be easy because the Muslims were now going to fight the Romans. The Romans were a superpower. Superpower. You know when you learn about the Byzantines? Right? This is what the Prophet ﷺ was taking the Muslims to, that they should fight them. And there's a whole background to why this battle was necessary. But Allah says that if it was an easy gain and a moderate trip, the hypocrites would have followed you. But distant to them was the journey. It seemed very long. Generally what happens? If we're told, oh, it's just once a week thing, just twice a week thing, we say, okay, I can think about it. But if it's 29, 30 days in a row, then what happens? I'll think about it. Huh? This is something that does not befit a believer. He will go in the way of Allah, even if it is a little difficult for him. And it is difficult initially, but gradually what happens? It becomes easier. You begin to enjoy it. And they will swear by Allah, if we were able, we would have gone forth with you, destroying themselves through false oaths. And Allah knows that indeed they are liars. عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. May Allah pardon you. Why did you give them permission to remain behind? You should not have, until it was evident to you who were truthful and you knew who were the liars. When the Prophet ﷺ, he ordered the people to prepare for the battle, the hypocrites came to him seeking permission to stay behind. And they came up with excuses. One person said, oh, I'm unwell, I have this, I have that. Excuses, false excuses. And the Prophet ﷺ kept allowing them. Allah says, why did you allow them? You should not have allowed them. And then their reality would have been exposed. Those who believe in Allah and the last day would not ask permission of you to be excused from striving with their wealth and their lives. No, they don't even take it as an option for themselves. And Allah is knowing of those who fear Him. So those who are passionate about the religion of Allah, they don't go on seeking permission. Can I be excused from this? Can I be excused from that? You know, when the Prophet ﷺ went for Tabuk, he appointed Ali radiallahu anhu in Medina to take care of his family. Because the Prophet's family was huge. So Ali radiallahu anhu was made to stay behind in Medina. You stay in Medina. Now what happened? The Muslims are getting ready. And they leave. When they left, Ali radiallahu anhu, he put his armor on, got on his mount, and ran and joined the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you're leaving me behind with the women, the children, the old, and people who are known to be hypocrites? I'm not staying behind. I have to go with you. It doesn't make sense that I'm staying behind and you're struggling in the way of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, no, Ali, go back. Why? You are like Harun was to Musa. Musa had to go. Remember we learned about Musa a.s. going to Mount? And then who stayed behind taking care of the affairs of the Bani Israel? Harun a.s. So then Ali radiallahu anhu finally agreed and he went back. But his heart was throughout with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because you see, when you're passionate about something, do you ever stay behind from it? Think, if the whole family is going to the mall, would you like to stay behind? If you were made to stay behind, you would cry. Cry. If the whole family is going on vacation and you have to stay behind, it's unfair. Wallahu alimun bil muttaqeen. Then who is it that looks for excuses in order to stay behind? Only those would ask permission of you who do not believe in Allah and the last day and whose hearts have doubted and they in their doubt are hesitating. So who stays behind? People whose iman is deficient. And if they had intended to go forth, they would have prepared for it some preparation, but Allah disliked their being sent. So He kept them back, and they were told, remain behind with those who remain. Had they gone forth with you, they would not have increased you except in confusion. And they would have been active among you, seeking to cause you fitna, and among you are avid listeners to them. Meaning it's good that these people didn't go along with you, because if they did, they would have caused more trouble than bringing benefit. And the fact is that these people talk and complain a lot. And when they would complain a lot, there's still some believers who are weak, and they would get impressed, they would get affected by them. And Allah is knowing of the wrongdoers. They had already desired dissension before and had upset matters for you until the truth came and the ordinance of Allah appeared while they were averse. So now their hypocrisy is being completely exposed. And among them is he who says, permit me to remain at home and do not put me to trial. You see, people came with different excuses, false excuses, but only one is mentioned in the Quran. And what was that? This man, Judd bin Qais, he said to the Prophet ﷺ that I've heard Roman women are very beautiful. And I am a man whose weakness is women. So if you take me there, I might end up doing something wrong. Yani, this is absurd. Absurd. Women are beautiful everywhere. This was just a pretense that, look, I'm so pious, I have to stay behind so that I don't do sin. I have to stay behind so I don't commit wrong. You know, this is just like a person saying, oh, I can't go to a Qur'an teacher to learn how to recite Qur'an from her, because if I recite in front of her, I will do riya, I will show off. And so I can't even learn how to recite the Qur'an. Really? You have to learn? I can't go pray, you know, in the masjid because it'll be showing off. I have to preserve my niyyah. No, Allah says, أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا. Unquestionably, into trial they have fallen. They try to avoid the so-called fitna, they are already in the fitna. Which fitna? The fitna of nifaq. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. And indeed, hell will encompass the disbelievers. If good befalls you, it distresses them. But if disaster strikes you, they say, we took our matter in hand before, and turn away while they are rejoicing. قُلْ, say to them, لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, never will we be struck except by what Allah has decreed for us. He is our protector, and upon Allah let the believers rely. You see, sometimes when a person goes in the way of Allah, he suffers. Right? And then he's told, oh, if you had not gone to the masjid, your car would not have been hit in the parking lot. Because sometimes it happens that you park the car outside and you come in to do something good, and when you go, your car is damaged. There was a lady who went somewhere for a class like this, and behind at her house there was a robbery. And she said, Alhamdulillah, I was gone for the class, because if I was at home, it would have happened in front of me. Who knows what I would have suffered? Thank God all that did not happen in front of me. It's about how you think. Isn't it? It's about how you think. Because the fact is that what the hardship that is written for us, it will come to us. If we were meant to be injured, we were going to be injured. We were going to be injured. So don't hold yourself back from a noble cause just to protect your health, protect your wealth, protect your car, protect yourself. No. This life is about trial, is about loss, is about hardships. Why not that these hardships come in the way of Allah? And remember, we should never think like this, that, oh, if I had not done this, such and such would not have happened. This is something that does not befit a believer. It is a part of iman to believe, لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. A man went to Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, and he said to him that I'm confused about al-qadr. So tell me something by means of which Allah will remove my confusion. So he said, were Allah to punish everyone in the heavens and the earth, He would do so without being unjust to them. And were He to show mercy to them, His mercy would be much better than their actions merited. Were you to spend in support of Allah's cause an amount of gold equivalent to Uhud, Allah would not accept it from you till you believed in divine decree and knew that what has come to you could not miss you, and that what has missed you could not come to you. And were you to die believing anything else, you would enter hell. Because part of iman is to believe in al-qadr. And part of believing in al-qadr is that what has reached me was meant to reach me. Say, do you await for us? Accept one of the two best things while we await for you, that Allah will afflict you with punishment from Himself or at our hands. So wait. Indeed, we along with you are waiting. Say, spend willingly or unwillingly. Never will it be accepted from you. Indeed, you have been a defiantly disobedient people. And what prevents their expenditures from being accepted from them, but that they have disbelieved in Allah and in His Messenger, and that they come not to prayer except while they are lazy, and that they do not spend except while they're unwilling. And when deeds are performed with this state of heart and mind, then they're worth nothing. So let not their wealth nor their children impress you. Allah only intends to punish them through them in worldly life, and that their souls should depart at death while they are disbelievers. You know, this is so sad that a person, you know, sacrifices so much for the sake of their money, for the sake of their family, but then what happens? At death, they separate from it. Haven't you ever seen a house that was completely set up, but now the owner is gone? They're gone. They have died. The house that they lived for, now it belongs to other people. The things that they valued, now they're garbage in front of other people. So what use was that life? What did it bring to a person? And they swear by Allah that they are from among you, while they are not in reality from among you, but they are a people who are afraid. If they could find a refuge or some caves or any place to enter and hide, they would turn to it while they run heedlessly. And among them are some who criticize you concerning the distribution of charities. If they are given from them, they approve. But if they are not given from them, at once they become angry. Why? Because they're greedy for money. So if they get money, they're happy. And if they're not given money, they become very rude and harsh. This is who? The person who is a slave to money. Slave to dirham and dinar. Firstly, what happens? They avoid to the best of their ability. What? Spending anything in the way of Allah. And if they have to give, they give it unhappily. And when they're given something, then they become happy. If they're not given something, they become very angry. The Prophet ﷺ said, let the slave of dinar and dirham, the slave of dinar and dirham, let him perish as he is pleased if these things are given to him. And if not, then he is displeased. Let such a person perish and relapse. And if he is pierced with a thorn, let him not find anyone to take it out for him. Why? Because this is the height of selfishness. Height of selfishness. The person who's extremely selfish, greedy for money. If he's given, he's happy. Not given, why didn't you give it to me? Demanding so rudely and accusing other people of being unfair. This is what? Extreme selfishness. This is a person who lives for himself, very greedy. Such people are not worth any mercy. If only they had been satisfied with what Allah and His Messenger gave them, and they said, Hasbunallah, sufficient for us is Allah. Sayyutin Allahu min fadlihi wa rasuluh. Allah will give us of His bounty, and so will His Messenger. Indeed, we are desirous toward Allah. This would have been better for them. Indeed, zakah expenditures are only for the poor. Meaning these are the haqq of who? Of the poor people who have nothing. And for the needy who don't have enough to fulfill their needs. And for those employed to collect zakat, meaning the workers. And for bringing hearts together for Islam. And for freeing captives or slaves. And for those in debt. And for the cause of Allah, jihad, da'wah ila Allah. And for the stranded traveler, an obligation imposed by Allah. And Allah is knowing and wise. Now in particular, this ayah teaches us who the recipients of the zakat money are. And this shows to us that, you know, these benefits are only for those who work hard and for those who are truly needy. Those who sit back and don't strive and they already have so much money, then they don't deserve more from charity. And among them are those who abuse the Prophet and say, he is an ear. The hypocrites said this. They did not trust their leader. They criticized his good qualities and they accused him of what he was not. And people who do this with their leaders, what does it show? Their insincerity. Say, it is an ear of goodness for you. Why they said he was an ear? Because they said, oh, he listens to everything. He listens to everything. He accepts everybody. Whatever excuse we take to him, he believes us. Well, the Prophet ﷺ, if he did that, Allah says, this is of good for you. It is an ear of goodness for you that believes in Allah and believes the believers and is a mercy for those who believe among you. And those who abuse the Messenger of Allah, for them is a painful punishment. They swear by Allah to you to satisfy you. Who? The hypocrites. But Allah and His Messenger are more worthy for them to satisfy if they should be believers. Do they not know that whoever opposes Allah and His Messenger, that for him is a fire of hell wherein he will abide eternally? That is a great disgrace. This is al-khizi. This is real embarrassment. This is real disgrace that a person is taken to the fire of hell. The hypocrites are apprehensive lest a surah be revealed about them, informing them of what is in their heart. Because a guilty one is always afraid. Right? When a person has done something wrong, he's always afraid that he's going to be exposed. Say, mock as you wish. Indeed, Allah will expose that which you fear. And if you ask them, they will surely say, we were only conversing and playing, because they made jokes about Allah, about the Quran, about the Prophet ﷺ, about the Muslims. And later on when they were confronted that how could you do that, they said, oh, we're just having some fun. Look at how defensive they become. Allah says, say, is it Allah and His verses and His Messenger that you were mocking at? You couldn't find anything else to have fun with? Make no excuse. You have disbelieved after your belief. If we pardon one faction of you, we will punish another faction because they were criminals. Those who are ignorant may still be pardoned, but those who initiate such things, those who spark such inflammatory speech, then they are guilty. The hypocrite men and the hypocrite women are of one another, meaning they're all the same. They enjoin what is wrong and forbid what is right. Remember, discouraging others from doing good is nifaq. Discouraging somebody from doing something good is hypocrisy. And they close their hands, meaning they don't spend in the way of Allah. They spend on themselves. They have forgotten Allah, so He has forgotten them accordingly. Indeed, the hypocrites, it is they who are the defiantly disobedient. Allah has promised the hypocrite men and the hypocrite women and the disbelievers the fire of hell wherein they will abide eternally. It is sufficient for them and Allah has cursed them and for them is an enduring punishment. You see, nifaq can also be in women. You know, we think that when it comes to the matters of deen, it's just men. No, men and women. You disbelievers are like those before you. They were stronger than you in power and more abundant in wealth and children. They enjoyed their portion of worldly enjoyment. And you have enjoyed your portion as those before you enjoyed their portion. And you have engaged in vanities like that in which they engaged. It is those whose deeds have become worthless in this world and in the hereafter. And it is they who are the losers. Has there not reached them the news of those before them? The people of Nuh and the tribes of Ad and Thamud and the people of Ibrahim and the companions of Madian and the towns that were overturned, their messengers came to them with clear proofs and Allah would never have wronged them, but they were wronging themselves. So what are you doing? وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The believing men and the believing women are allies of one another. They enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong and establish prayer. So these things are not just the work of men. It's not just the obligation of men to learn the Qur'an and teach it. No, even women have to do this because we are all supporting each other. And they establish prayer and give zakat and obey Allah and His Messenger. Those Allah will have mercy upon them. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and wise. We see that the relationship of a believer with another believer is very unique. A believer strengthens the other because the work of the deen cannot be done alone. And where there is love and support, a team is formed. And where there is a team, then what will happen? They will be stronger and the work will be strengthened and they will be successful in their mission. Allah has promised the believing men and the believing women gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and pleasant dwellings. Pleasant dwellings. Why? Because sometimes you have to leave your house for some time, right? To strive in the way of Allah. Allah will give a better place. Pleasant dwellings. Tell me, which day is that when you wake up and you look at your house and you feel, alhamdulillah. What happens? Laundry. Oh my God, there's a mess again. I cleaned the bathroom yesterday and it's dirty again. Even when you have somebody come and clean your house for you, I think that increases you in stress. Why? Because now you're worried about maintaining the cleanliness. The houses of this world, they are a blessing, but they can never bring us true satisfaction. True satisfaction is in the houses of Jannah only. pleasant dwellings, in gardens of perpetual residence. But approval from Allah is greater. It is that which is the great attainment. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what are the houses of Jannah like? He said, a brick of gold and a brick of silver. Its mortar is of musk, and its soil is of za'faran, and its pebbles are pearls and rubies. In another hadith we learned that the Prophet ﷺ said, in paradise there would be for a believer a tent, meaning a house, a room, of a single hollowed pearl. Meaning it will be a pearl. So you can imagine the smoothness and the shine, the breadth of which would be 60 miles. The width is 60 miles. Which house can you get over here which is 60 miles wide? Tell me, which house? This is the reward for who? Those who work together for the cause of Allah. O Prophet, fight against the disbelievers and the hypocrites and be harsh with them. And their refuge is hell and wretched is the destination. They swear by Allah that they did not say anything against the Prophet while they had said the word of disbelief and disbelieved after their pretense of Islam and planned that which they were not to attain. And they were not resentful except for the fact that Allah and His Messenger had enriched them of His bounty. So if they repent, it is better for them. But if they turn away, Allah will punish them with the painful punishment in this world and the hereafter, and there will not be for them on earth any protector or helper. And among them are those who made a covenant with Allah, saying, if He should give us from His bounty, we will surely spend in charity, and we will surely be among the righteous, setting conditions. But then what happens? When Allah gave them from His bounty, they were stingy with it, and turned away while they refused. So He penalized them with hypocrisy in their hearts, until the day they will meet Him, because they failed Allah in what they promised Him, and because they habitually used to lie. They will remain like this until they die. Why? Because this is a bad habit, making promises and breaking them. Delaying things, procrastinating, this is a bad habit. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا? Did they not know that Allah knows their secrets and their private conversations, and that Allah is the knower of the unseen? Those who criticize the contributors among the believers concerning their charities and criticize the ones who find nothing to spend except their effort, so they ridicule them. Allah will ridicule them and they will have a painful punishment. Abu Mas'ud said that when the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to contribute for the Jaysh al-Usra, for the expedition to Tabuk, for the Battle of Tabuk, he said that we began to work as porters. Because we had no money. So we worked as porters, so that we could make some money and spend that. So a man came with just a handful of dates, or half a handful of dates he came. And when he put it, the Prophet ﷺ, he was happy with him. And the hypocrites, they said, this man is showing off. And they mocked at the Muslims. They said, yeah, you're going to go fight the Romans with a handful of dates? Allah says, ask forgiveness for them, or do not ask forgiveness for them. If you should ask forgiveness for them 70 times, never will Allah forgive them. Because if the heart is not repentant, then why should Allah forgive? That is because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. And Allah does not guide the defiant and disobedient people. Those who remained behind rejoiced in their staying at home after the departure of the Messenger of Allah, and disliked to strive with their wealth and their lives in the cause of Allah. And they said, do not go forth in the heat. They discouraged each other from going in the way of Allah. They said, don't go, it's too hot. Because it was summertime. It was around July time when this battle of Tabuk happened. When the expedition happened, they said, do not go forth in the heat. Allah says, say to them, the fire of hell is more intense in heat. If they could but understand. How hot is the fire of hell? Yahya ibn Ja'da, he said that the fire that you kindle is a 70th portion of the fire of hell. Just 1/70th portion of the fire of hell. So multiply this 70 times and that is the fire of hell. And twice has the fire been cooled with the waters of the sea. So imagine how intense is the fire of hell. And it's constantly being increased. The Prophet ﷺ said, last night I saw in a dream two men coming to me. One of them said, the person who kindles the fire is Malik. Meaning it hasn't just been kindled and left. It's constantly being kindled. It's constantly being increased. And one breath of those in hell would cause utter destruction. In a hadith in the Silsilat al-Sahihah, the Prophet ﷺ said, if there were 100, in another report, 1,000 people in the masjid or more, and one man from the people of the fire would breathe out, and that breath would reach these people in the masjid, it would burn this whole place and everyone in it. Just one breath. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا. So let not the heat of the summer prevent a person from going out in Allah's way. So let them laugh a little and then weep much as recompense for what they used to earn. If Allah should return you to a faction of them after the expedition, and then they ask your permission to go out to battle again, say, you will not go out with me ever. This was the last battle the Prophet ﷺ participated in. Very soon after this expedition, he passed away. So, you'll never participate with me again, and you will never fight with me an enemy. Indeed, you were satisfied with sitting at home the first time, so sit now with those who sit behind. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that people will continue to keep themselves away from the front row until Allah will keep them away. Allah will keep them away. And in a version of Abu Dawud, that Allah will keep them away from the front in the hellfire, meaning they will be made to enter hellfire. Because they delay, they keep behind. So this is a crime. So O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not pray the funeral prayer over any of them who has died, ever, or stand at his grave. Indeed they disbelieved in Allah and his messenger and died while they were defiantly disobedient. Imagine. And let not their wealth and their children impress you. Allah only intends to punish them through them in this world, and that their souls should depart at death while they are disbelievers. And when a surah was revealed enjoining them to believe in Allah and to fight with His messenger, those of wealth among them asked your permission to stay back, and they said, leave us to be with those who sit at home. They were satisfied to be with those who stayed behind, and their hearts were sealed over, so they do not understand. But the messenger and those who believed with him fought with their wealth and their lives. Those will have all that is good. And it is those who are the successful. Allah has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally. That is the great attainment. This is the great success. But this is for who? Those who strive in the way of Allah, who bear temporary loss for the sake of Allah, so that later Allah will give them more. Because this life is temporary, it is short-lived. Anyway, so why not give up a part of it to get a whole lot of rewards in the hereafter when Allah has so much to offer? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who readily, happily, willingly worship Him and strive in His cause and not come up with false excuses to stay behind, depriving themselves of reward. Subhanakallahu bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.